fighting for America.
You can shake your head all you want to, Commissioner. You have said today that there's no evidence of criminal wrongdoing. And I'm asking you what criminal statutes you have reviewed to reach that conclusion.
I've reviewed no criminal statute.
Fighting for Idaho.
They got a phone call from Senator Risch and a phone call from Senator Crapo saying, you know, we'd like you to support our governor and the establishment and just take Senator Risch's son's letter to be the fact.
Fighting for you.
Just recently read a few articles on the effectiveness of performing the Heimlich maneuver on drowning victims before starting CPR. I was in the right place at the right time. There's over 250 Boise firefighters who would have done the same thing.
Boise's Mr. Right, Kevin Miller in the morning on 580 KIDO, Idaho's first radio station.
And good morning, K. Miller in the morning, 580 KIDO. Thank you all for joining us. We appreciate it. Phone numbers, you know them, 580-5436, 580-KIDO. Kevin Godwin with us, Regional Vice President, Town Square Media. I want to make sure I got your title right. Is that correct, sir?
Sure. Janitor.
Man of the world. Great to have you here. An event that you have been a part of, that you had a brainstorming effect on, that you brainstormed, that you financed, that you made happen with your great team here, and, of course, so many others, the Boise Music Festival this Saturday, not only at 580KIDO, but Town Square Media here, is happening, and we want to get your thoughts on it. Can you believe it's been 5 years?
Yeah, fifth year this year. It's very exciting. We're a couple days away, and I know they're setting up down at Expo Idaho right now, and they started putting up the stage yesterday, the main stage, and I was talking to Michael Dietz at Idaho Statesman a couple days ago, and he said, gosh, this is a fifth year in it. And I was like, I just didn't even realize it, but yeah. And it's going to be a great show. I mean, we're bringing in some bigger talent every year, and this year's no exception. We got, having Train Grammy Award winners, and they're a big band. They play big shows, and I know everyone in the community so far that I've talked to is real excited to see them play. And the lineup this year is because that's what most people want to discuss is who's playing. And we have such energy on the stage this year. Really great live shows. People always ask me, how do you define each year and so forth, and this year, I would say that the lineup that we have on stage is very high energy. I mean, you're not going to hear a whole lot of ballads. There's going to be a lot of dancing, and there's going to be a lot of, singing and songs that people recognize, and there's going to be, just really terrific live shows, Kev.
And you don't forget the local bands. This is an opportunity for a lot of local bands to showcase their talents.
Yeah, we have over 50 local bands that'll play on different stages. We have different themed stages, so, if you like a certain genre of music, that you can go and hang out with those guys. We have an indie rock stage. We have a hip hop stage. We have a electric dance music stage. We have a variety stage, family stage. There's lots of different types of music and different and what a great opportunity for local bands and regional bands to kind of highlight their highlight their skill and
sure
and get a little attention and
right
and we're looking forward to that those are always popular too and they run throughout the day. So
now I have to ask you, people ask me this all the time, how do you pick who's coming and who isn't? We year one Brett Michaels, now Train.
It's funny,
I've been lobbying for Meatloaf for several years, but
we'll go to lunch today.
I
would say that it really depends on I get asked that a lot. It depends on who's routing. That's an interesting world, and a world that I don't like. I do what I got to do to get the talent here, but we got some help. We have some great relationships with some people that help us get talent, but it's different every year. It just depends on things like, how busy Europe is during that time. Europe is a very busy concert season. They have lots of cities that take big bands away from the United States during that time. I think it has to do with the euro and the dollar and what they're paying over there for that. There's a lot of festivals now. People are, you got the Coachellas and the Stagecoaches, and there's a lot, it kind of falls, where your festival date falls as well and where people are at the time. And so this year we kind of lucked out. We've been trying to get Train here for every year. for the entire 5 years, and we finally put enough pressure on them to get them up here, and I'm very excited, and they're excited to be here. They made some really well. They made some personal changes in their calendar, family reunions and stuff to come play for us. So, you know, it's a unique process to find people. You got to talk to lots of different talent agencies and
sure.
And
lots of egos, I bet.
Oh yeah, yeah, lots of egos and lots of dollars and lots of you know accommodations that you got to make and to put it all together and make everything fit as a unique puzzle every year.
Now, when we take a look at what it takes to bring this thing together, you've got great sponsors. The staff works hard, not just the folks on the air, the sales staff, the support team. This is a huge concept. Did you ever think to yourself, or year after year, as you get ready for this, we might be biting off more than we can chew? And you know, the idea that support comes from the community, from the sponsors, and from the staff.
You know, we have an incredible staff here. You know, I tell people all the time, there's about 50 people, literally inside these walls that make it happen here at Town Square Media. We've done these shows a long time. We used to do shows called Listener Appreciation Concerts, and they were much smaller. They were, you know, 10,000 people versus 70 or 80,000 people. But, you know, very talented people here. And we had a good model for a long time that's been successful. You know, I learned from a guy that one of my mentors, Ed Hardy, who was he's the vice president of programming for GAC Television for the country station now with Scripps Howard. And Ed first started listener appreciation shows where you give away a lot of free tickets to your audience, and sponsors pay for, you know, the show itself. And it's a unique concept, and it's tough to pull off. It really is. It's a big risk as for a company because there's a lot of expenses that you're on the hook for, and things can go wrong. You know, weather, it could be whatever. But he started those in 1975 at KOA in Denver, Colorado, with Charlie Pride in the shopping mall down there.
Wow.
And that can take you back a few years, you know, 35, 40 years. Just kind of perfected that process over time. And I was lucky enough to start working with him on those in the mid-90s. When we came over here, I had the same core people that I had worked with on those in the past here in Boise. And we said, how can we make this thing bigger? How can we take it up a notch and really do something special? And kind of the idea of that River Festival had gone away. And,
right.
And, of course, we were involved with the Spirit of Boise Balloon Classic and Scott Spencer and that group that had done the balloons for River Festival. We thought, boy, it'd be great if we could do, you know, a live concert that brought people down. And we started in Amorson Park, just like the old River Festival. But we've liked our relationship with the Expo Idaho folks, and Bob Batista and those guys out there have been really terrific to work with. And it fits us out there. It really feels good to be out there. We just had an amazing response from the community. And of course, you know, it's fun to be able to contest and give as many tickets as we do away.
Sure.
Some of these people have called me and said, you know, I would never be able to take my family out to an event like this. They'd never have enough money to, you know, this is a concert ticket. Well, I'll give you an example. We've got a concert up in Montana called Headwaters, a country concert over a 3-day period, and tickets are $150 a piece.
Wow.
And I look at concert tickets for events like this, and you know, they're $200, $250 a piece, and there's a lot of families with big families that could never, you know, spend a day and spend that kind of money, and then all the things that they got to do out there to, you know, stay hydrated or eat
sure.
or whatever. So that's really rewarding for me. Is I love to see a lot of people come out and get to enjoy a really big show.
Enjoy the show?
I love it.
You're working though. I've seen you work.
Yeah.
You've got the game face on.
Yeah, a little bit. You know, there's a time at the end of the day. I'll get some time tomorrow night with one of our partners that helps us with talent, and we're gonna have dinner together and get ramped up for this thing.
Right.
And after some sound checks are done tomorrow afternoon, but we'll also, you know, towards the end of the night, I really enjoy it. I mean, a lot of the artists will come back out. You know, we usually play some of the bigger, have some of the bigger artists towards the end of the night. And so some of the middle acts will come out and really want to watch some of their heroes play. You know, I mean, someone that plays at 2 o'clock or on a local stage wants to come over and watch Train play. They want to watch, you know, LL Cool J, or they want to see Kelly Pickler, or, you know, Bret Michaels.
Sure.
Joan Jett. And, you know, I remember Sugar Ray a few years ago all came back out on the stage with us and hung out on the side of the stage to watch Joan Jett. They'd never seen her live. They, you know, they're always touring opposite.
Right.
And so to have them having such unique talent in one place, because it spans the genres, right? We have a rock person. We have a pop group. We have,
sure,
country. We have... And so to see their enthusiasm to watch other talent was really, it's kind of a fun deal, you know, to talk to them about that and go, wow, I mean, how incredible is that to be here and watch that? So,
Kevin Godwin, we appreciate it. See that one quick.
Wow.
Good times.
Thanks. You can go to BoiseMusicFestival.com for all the details on, like, tickets and where you can still get your tickets. I highly suggest anyone out there that wants to go to the show to get VIP tickets at the Coors Light Cool Zone. Those are the best seats in the house.
That they are. Thank you, Kev.
Earning your trust every morning. Kevin Miller, 580 KIDO, Idaho's first radio station.
Up all night. Who's staying up all night?
Kevin Miller in the morning, 580 KIDO. We go to Jeff Manasso, Fox News Radio, with the very latest. Good morning, Jeff.
Hey, how are you?
I don't know which is more competitive, the Tea Party versus... the establishment, or the Germans versus the Americans?
You know, we've talked about this several times before, Kevin, about this narrative that it's the Tea Party versus the establishment. And technically, I guess that's true. But I think the real narrative, based on our polling, based on what we've talked about with people outside polling places across the country since primary season began months ago, it's the direction of this country, whether you're a Democrat or Republican. Most polls show that most Americans are not happy with the direction, and at the end of the day, it's about control of the Senate. And so Republicans, whether you are a conservative or whether you're a Tea Party type, you're still a Republican, and to you, it's all about control of the Senate. So take, for instance, Mississippi. Thad Cochran squeaked by, and with help of some Democrats, black Democrats in poor neighborhoods were showered with pamphlets in the days leading up to the election with literature saying, look, vote for Thad. I know you haven't voted for Republican. You don't vote for Republicans, but in this case, you need to, because Chris McDaniel is going to take away your welfare. He's racist and all these other things, and that's politics, I guess. While Chris McDaniel has not conceded that race yet, and very well could challenge. At the end of the day, it's about Republicans kicking Harry Reid out of office.
Right. Nobody wants to go through another Todd Akin, Christine McDonald, Christine O'Donnell candidate that we had back in 2012 or whatever. If you're a Republican, but Jeff. It's amazing to me that the Republicans seem to be tougher on themselves than they are when they're in the general election against the Democrats.
Well, you know, it's trying to get a foothold of their message, and right now it's kind of across the board. You've got one faction that's saying, hey, look, we want to do it this way, and you've got the old school folks saying, no, we need to do it this way, the establishment types. Coming out in droves to support candidates like Thad Cochran and others, and we'll see. I mean, the Tea Party's had some successes over the course of the primary season, most notably in North Carolina. Jack Kingston, well, they're actually facing a runoff, but Jack Kingston with a pretty big a night in North Carolina. He's facing a runoff and could very well topple his opponent, David Perdue. Virginia, Eric Cantor, and that was a big, big deal. And the narrative that whole day is, oh, the Tea Party's back on top. I think people are putting too much stock into this Tea Party versus establishment narrative, to be honest with you.
Well, I question the whole term Tea Party, because let's face it, it's more like the grassroots or conservative branch, right wing versus the establishment. But the old Tea Party label, I mean, I could call you Tea Party, yeah. This, Tea Party that. And then you have people that make money off of it and the national groups. But mm-hmm. Go back to the Cantor race. They didn't play a part in that.
No, they didn't. And it goes back just like Cantor. I mean, you talk to folks in Virginia, and we did. And they, Eric Cantor, according to the polls, was widely expected to win by a huge margin, and he didn't. And we talked to folks in that state, and the lion's share of them said, look, we are not happy with the direction of this country, and we feel that we need a change. We've talked about this before, Kevin. Politics is local, and so whatever is affecting folks on Main Street, they're in Boise. That's how they're going to vote generally. Obamacare is not helping Democrats either, and there are a lot of vulnerable Democrats heading into the midterm elections, and that's a real concern for Democrats. So it's going to be really interesting. There's a lot of time between now and the November midterm elections, and so anything can happen.
Well, and that's why you have people like Senator Cochran and others arguing, we need not to lose this seat. We need me back in there. I tell you, though, what you described of what happened in Mississippi, Jeff, amazing, where you have the Republican senator taking on, for lack of a better term, the Tea Party guy, a former talk show host. I guess there's hope for all of us that, he's going to take your welfare and all this. And remember, you've got Haley Barbour that played a significant role, former chairman of the RNC, former governor of Mississippi, at one time a presidential candidate.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, so you have these folks that, have the money, have the relationships, and this budding movement, whatever you want to call it, within the Republican Party is going to take time to mature.
I think so, and it's a real threat to the establishment types, and that's why they've spent so much money to try and combat this movement that really has taken over in many factions. And I wouldn't count the Tea Party out by a long stretch, because what they say carries some weight and some water with a lot of folks out there, and it resonates. I mean, it's very simple what they stand for. Taxed enough already.
Jeff Manasso, to be continued. Thank you.
You bet.
Joined now by our great friend Emily Wither, Fox News Radio at 580 KIDO.
Hi, good morning.
It's not looking good for Iraq. It is looking good for the insurgents.
Yes, these insurgents are continuing to sweep across the country. Today, they have set their sights on Christian villages in the north of the country. So there are reports of thousands of Christians fleeing to the semi-autonomous Kurdistan region, where it's relatively safe for them. So they're trying to get in there. The militants are also, very concerningly, trying to take a major military airbase north of Baghdad. Now, I'm not sure if any of these militants know how to fly a plane, but there are thousands of them. So if they were able to take this military airbase, there's the potential that they have power from the air, which I would hate to think what that would follow with. So the militants are continuing to do well. And also what we're seeing at the moment is a lot of tension along the borders. We've heard that Syria has struck Iraq. They were targeting militants, Sunni militant hideouts. And what's happening really is a kind of Shiite alliance that is rising up here, with the Shiite leader Nouri al-Maliki in Baghdad, Shiite Iran, which is helping out, and now President Assad, who belongs to the Alawite sect, which is an offshoot of Shiite Islam, is also getting involved too, with carrying out their own airstrikes. One of the reasons that the Assad regime would have done this is because they're particularly concerned about the militants who now have all this fancy new advanced weaponry, moving it back into their country where they are fighting to topple the Assad regime.
Emily Wither with us, Kevin Miller, 580 KIDO, and yet we still have, these cities that are being taken, the insurgents moving on, and we see people in the streets from the opposite direction. How much longer before it escalates even more? Can it escalate more?
The problem in terms of escalation is it dragging in other countries in the region. And this is something that Secretary of State John Kerry is particularly concerned about. He's urging restraint from all neighboring countries and countries in the region when it comes to the fight in Iraq, saying it's up to the Iraqis to decide what happens. But, I mean, this is the new Middle East, where within the same week you have Israel bombing Syria and Syria bombing targets in Iraq. And so while this Shiite alliance is emerging in Iraq, you also have other countries like Jordan, Saudi Arabia, Kuwait, Turkey. they have all stepped up their surveillance flights along their borders to watch what's happening. And it doesn't take much to spark things here. So an accidental crossfire killing, a bomb in the wrong place. I mean, these all have the potential to really disrupt the region. And just yesterday in Lebanon, for example, the government there are very concerned about sleeper cells of this ISIS militant group. And there was a bombing in a hotel right in the center of Beirut yesterday. And the Lebanese government say that they are Saudi nationals who were behind this suicide bombing. They were planning something pretty major, but the authorities were able to disrupt it, which is why this suicide bomber detonated in the hotel. And they believe it's possible that these guys were from the militant group ISIS. So it just shows that this group have set their sights on countries much wider than Syria and Iraq. They're also possibly moving into Lebanon. And the Jordanians are very concerned as well that the ISIS militants will march into their country next. They now control the only border crossing between Jordan and Iraq. So the Jordanians are beefing up their security along the border there, too.
Is the only folks counter to ISIS Iran?
No, I wouldn't say that, because many countries obviously don't support ISIS. This is a very brutal and horrible militant group. But unfortunately, what ISIS has managed to do by sweeping into Iraq is stir up those sectarian tensions, those familiar fault lines that don't take much to be disrupted. So while none of these countries support ISIS in the sense, you know, not publicly, we know there are people within Saudi Arabia who are likely funneling money to this militant group, but, you know, no one supports ISIS in that sense. There is this, again, the Sunni-Shiite tensions rising out of this because of the divide in Syria, the divide in Iraq, and then, of course, that spills over into other countries in the region, particularly Lebanon, too, where Sunnis and Shiites in that country are being forced to pick sides. They have to decide, do they support the moderate rebels or some of these other Sunni militant groups, or do they support the Shiites who are fighting against President Assad, alongside President Assad and the Shiite Lebanese group Hezbollah. So it's whipping up the same sectarian tensions in that country as well.
Emily, we appreciate it. Do you have a great day, ma'am?
Thank you.
You're listening to Kevin Miller, 580 KIDO.
John Hannity, weekday afternoons at 3 on 580 KIDO, Idaho's first radio station.
And 580 KIDO, Kevin Miller in the morning, and Dave Burnett with us. The Friday edition of the Manly Man segment, of course, not really Friday for all of us, because we'll all be working tomorrow.
Yes, and by the way, I got excited. I forgot to give the weather. Looking at chance of showers yet this morning. Highs in the upper 70s.
I wasn't going to point that out.
Yeah, I got confused. Easily done.
Shocking.
But sunny tomorrow, highs right around 80. So it'll be good for the music festival.
Yeah, 83,000 folks there last year.
Yeah, so still the chance of sunburn. Put that sunburn, sunburn lotion. Listen to me. Put that sunscreen on.
Anything else you'd like to say?
Nope, I'm done.
Fair enough. Do you have anything else besides the sunscreen?
Well, what do you have? That seems to be of more interest. What you got going today?
Nothing really. We could talk. We still haven't really covered the roundabout situation because I'm fascinated by it. I got pummeled on Facebook. But I think the big buzzworthy topic is something that Maggie brought out. And the story in BuzzFeed that Bo Bergdahl's parents were trying to raise money independently of the government. And I'm going to let you tackle that one first, Dave Burnett, and give me your thoughts.
If you'll remember right, Diane, I think it was Diane Sawyer, had an interview with the Bergdahls. And this was quite some time after Bo had been taken captive. And Diane said at that point, have you had any contact from the government? At which that time is no. President hadn't called. Hillary Clinton hadn't called. Nobody had called. And it was around that time that we had started hearing word that is the reason why Bob Bergdahl was learning the language, to do whatever he could do to try to gain his son's freedom. Now, I would I'm only supposing here. If I was a father and my child was being held captive by another country, and again, I'm only supposing, I can't read Bob Bergdahl's mind, but it appeared my government was doing little to nothing to help, I would start doing whatever I could on my own to try to get him freed.
Okay.
And I'm guessing that perhaps this is where this is coming from. And again, I'm just assuming a lot. But that would be my guess.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, that's my thoughts on it. And for some reason now, suddenly it's a big new surprise.
Well, I'm not surprised. And if you recall my conversations with you about my talks with Bob Bergdahl, and I think it was the Today Show where they made that statement, because you had the clip for a while, and then it got blown out of our system. You remember that? Remember we had that clip? Of-
yeah, and I've tried to find it on YouTube again. I think it was Diane Sawyer. It was one of the female reporters. Yeah, and it's you can't even find it on YouTube anymore.
Mm-hmm.
So it's been purged from YouTube.
Right. But if you recall, when I spoke with these guys, I said, you know, just based on talking to Bob, he's doing stuff that probably a lot of people wouldn't be comfortable with, just based on the conversation that I had with him that went on for hours and hours out in Haley, and just his familiarity with those folks and his defense of their religion and his unique other perspective. I'm not shocked by this at all. In fact, I'm surprised it took this long for this to get out, that the Bergdahls decided to do these things on their own. And what it really says is, A, the frustration with the government that, you know, initially was there. You know, it's amazing to me that so many people are into Bo Bergdahl now. And being at that news conference and looking at Bob and Janny, for me, it was the end of just a small part of my personal journey. And I'm sitting there thinking about the case closed, and I can remember being on that walk where people didn't even know who Bo Bergdahl was. And General Gayhart, the governor, the first lady, joining us along with the kids from Challenger School to have a ceremony for that. And then to see 3 years later, or 2 years later, how much that it had grown and how it had become a big story. And I wondered why it hadn't been that way from the very beginning. And if you recall, I always spoke about that many times on this program, you know, what about Bo Bergdahl? Now you play into this fact here at 580KIDO. You have the Bergdahls, and who knows if this BuzzFeed story is correct. You have the desertion. You have the controversy. And now you have this. You know, how do you really define this story in the ADD society that we live in?
Well, again, for the society we have, it's a blip on their radar. I mean, some people are going, yeah, you know that guy that was held by Pakistan? And people won't even remember who it is or what the story truly was. I think there's just so many facets to this. I think that our government did this thinking they were going to get a big positive buzz out of it, that, hey, we got a prisoner of war released right when they needed some positive. You'll remember, right, this happened right in the heat of the veteran scandal, and they needed some positive military news, and I think they thought they were going to get it and were surprised with the backlash to it. So you have that political tentacle sticking its way through it. You have the exchange for the Taliban leaders, which, again, the Bergdahls had nothing to do with that. It was the government who arranged that. I mean, you could be mad at Bo Bergdahl for that, but he didn't have anything to do with that as far as making the arrangement. So there's just so many different facets in here. But again, you know, if somebody's not really paying attention, they don't remember the whole backstory. And it just seems like, and I don't know if it's because we discussed it off air, but to me it seemed pretty clear the Bergdahls were doing whatever they could to try to find out more about their son and about how to gain freedom for their son. And I remember after that Diane Sawyer thinking, I'd be furious if my government had not called or contacted me to say we're doing what we can for you. You know, that would have made me mad personally, and I would have started doing whatever I could.
Right.
But that story wasn't really ever told in the news. It was just passed off.
Well, but they didn't want that story told in the news.
No, and the Bergdahls, they probably aren't going to comment much on this. Just not going to happen.
Right.
I think they probably learned their lesson. We're staying out of the public eye.
Well, but again, they weren't in the public eye.
Mm-hmm.
They had, the New York Times, the Wall Street Journal, and Rolling Stone, which proved to be a disaster.
Yeah.
So that's one big story at 580KIDO. The other one has to be, so let me ask you something. What's the role of people in our building? Aren't they supposed to be like trendsetters and what's happening? They're supposed to be in the moment. They're really supposed to be the people that, I don't know, if something big's going on, they're all over it.
People in our building?
Yes.
I guess they should be aware. Yeah.
What do you mean? You guess? I mean, look, if you're on the radio, you should know what's going on, right?
Well, you know, for each genre, can I tell you what's going on in the Katy Perry world? No, because I don't really care.
No. Don't make excuses. If you are in the media, you should know what's going on. You should be story A. I'm sure that. When Bo Bergdahl came home, no matter what the genre, because everybody wants to do news.
Oh, okay, I follow what you're saying now, yeah.
Everybody that wants to do news, you know, whether they're country, whether they're rock, whether they're whatever, they always aspire to be in this format for some strange reason. People want to hear me. No, they want to hear the songs. But I did a little poll yesterday while I was watching the World Cup game, and I was amazed at how either right on or out of touch our colleagues were in this building.
With how the game works?
No, with watching the World Cup.
Well, I guess I'm confused.
It wouldn't be the first time. You sit back here at 580KIDO, and I thought, I just saw a ghost.
Did you?
I did.
What kind of ghost was it?
A ghost of FM stuff. But anyway, you know, when you're talking about these people and all of a sudden they're staring at you. But anyway, 580KIDO, Kevin Miller, Dave Burnett with us. I thought that because the World Cup is so big and we have the best personalities here in the Treasure Valley that everybody would have the game on. And lo and behold, I was the only one that had the game on. And I'm blogging and
on the TV, you mean?
Yeah, on the TV.
Maybe they were watching on their handhelds.
No, don't make excuses.
I'm just giving you some.
Do you know you make excuses for everything? Look, these guys were dropping the ball. Either they were dropping the ball or they were, in fact, not informed. So which is it?
I did not watch the game, but I knew everything going on.
You were not. Well, don't be so defensive. I'm laying out the facts here. Can I continue?
Sure. Absolutely, Kevin.
Thank you. Well,
do you want me to be one of your FM slappies and laugh when it's time?
Yes.
Okay, go ahead.
Now, we really need that one.
No, you don't.
Yes,
Ray,
we really
burn that one.
Ray, burn that. No. Anyway, what I'm saying is I'm sitting here trying to educate myself on the game, and I thought that people that are born and bred to be all about entertainment would, in fact, be all over this thing, but they weren't. And I'm thinking to myself, oh, what a nice little game. I can sit here. I can go out. I can go to the bathroom. I can get a cup of coffee. Nothing changes. And I thought that everybody here in the building would be all about it because that's what the Today Show is doing. That's what Good Morning America, we believe. And I'm thinking to myself, okay, if they said it's time to jump off a bridge and that would get you ratings for TV, would you do the same thing? I found the whole embracing of the U.S. team so disingenuous. And today people are going to go, well, you know, the soccer team, they lost, but they won. Oh, boy, let's take on the Belgians. Why? Because we have no critical thinking skills in this country. We have no critical thinking skills in the media. And I'm thinking, just say no to soccer. Where's the laugh?
Oh, I forgot. I didn't know. Now's my cue.
That was funny stuff. But my point is, that if this is such a big thing, then I figured everybody in the building would be glued. Heck, the coach of the team tweeted out an excuse note that was the biggest thing on social media that you didn't have to work. The Wall Street Journal had 5 ways to get out of work to watch the World Cup, and I'm thinking, okay, I'm watching this thing. Okay, they kicked the ball. Ooh, it's out of bounds. Talk about a cure for insomnia. And then I had was it Kevin Richard? Is that right, the writer?
Yes, for the station. Yeah.
Smacking me on Facebook for, I find your arguments against soccer, the typical blah, 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 every 4 years. Every 4 years, we get the pro-soccer propaganda, folks. And every 4 years, we get excited. We buy these dumb jerseys, and we cheer on these players that we'll never know again. And then we move on. To quote the great founder of talk radio, no wonder the libs love soccer. Everybody gets to kick the ball, and when you lose, you win. There are no winners.
Yeah, I'll be honest. I'm totally confused. And I was able to keep up. I have found the perfect way to follow soccer. Oh. It's on Twitter. That's how I follow, because then they just tell you when something happens, and so you check it every few minutes, and nothing really ever happens. Yeah. So that I found the perfect way to do it, and that's watching, you're following it on
Twitter. And then they got these sports guys that are going, thank you, Ronaldo. Thank you. And I'm going, please. Can we just be real? Can we just be honest? Is it such a shame not to embrace the socialist sport of soccer? Oh, my goodness. Well, the young people, look, when you build this country, when you develop some cholesterol in your arteries, when you've had some tobacco or smokes or whatever, then you can comment. But until then, enough. What's soccer?
Let me go back to your original question.
Where's the laugh?
Can I go back to the original question? There's no laughing because it's soccer. It's serious. Let me go back to your original question. Should the FM slappies in this building be in touch, be trendsetters? Your key word in that statement, Kevin, would be should.
Yeah. Well, I just thought it was fascinating because everyone in this building, and I'm not, you know me, I hate everybody, except the people that listen to 580KIDO. Always very good to worry about your audience there. But they're all very talented here. And it was amazing to me, based on the talent level and the work ethic in this building, that they weren't embracing it just for a sheer buzz factor. Heck, you know me, I'm anti-soccer, but I'm sitting here watching it. So it was just interesting to kind of just see how legitimate it really was.
Yeah, maybe they're very busy.
You're busy.
Yes, I am. Traffic now, Kevin. We are working.